This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning. You're with The Morning Run, Sharad Kutin, myself, Tan Chung Han and Julian Ng in the room with me.
That was such an insult, man. I think that's an insult. That's terrible.
Well, you know, you both have the same haircut, if you
or
can imagine.
Thereof.
Yeah, it's a no-hair haircut. Along with mine, except for different reasons. Chuang is going to be back with us after the 8 o'clock bulletin, of course, and he's going to be on The Breakfast Grill with Charles Brewer, Global CEO for DHL e-commerce. So a small branch of the DHL, the huge DHL company, which has grown immensely.
Well, small branch, but apparently it's the biggest revenue contributor to their group. So it'd be very, very exciting to see, you know, if they can build on the kind of successes that they've seen in the e-commerce space.
Yeah, in fact, if you just have some numbers, it has about 12,000 employees out of a total of almost 500,000 employees that DHL has. Mm-hmm. So again, a small part of the business, but contributing a huge amount. Now, back to some of the news. The Securities Commission is released a new code on corporate governance.
Yeah, so the idea here is to, you know, strengthen corporate culture, you know, that is anchored on accountability and also transparency. You know, if you recall, when we spoke to one of the credit ratings agencies last week, they also highlighted the weaker corporate governance levels that are seen in Malaysia. You know, so this new code, or the new revision of this code has been around since the year 2000. It has been revised a couple of times before, so this is the latest one. It went into effect yesterday, and you know, the first step to be first up in terms of reporting their adherence to this code is those public listed companies who have their financial years which end December 31st. Now there are some key changes here, and a lot of it is centered on the board of directors. So we have here the SC chairman Tan Sri Ranjit Ajit Singh, you know, talking about some of those key changes in this new code.
I think we saw recently that Malakoff also tried to agitate for more accountability with the board of directors. So I think this will come as something that's very welcome.
Okay, so we'll go to that clip from Tan Sri Ranjit Ajit Singh, Securities Commission Chairman.
Boards that intend to retain an independent director beyond 12 years will now be expected to obtain annual shareholders' approval through a two-tier vote. The code will also require half of companies' boards to comprise independent directors, while boards of large companies need to have a majority independent directors.
All right, so just to recap what Tan Sri Ranjit just said there. So boards that want to retain an independent director beyond 12 years, they now have to get shareholders' approval through a two-tier vote. Essentially, you know, instead of, you know, having, so to speak, tenured directors, you know, who are or independent directors who are on there, you know, on these boards for a long period of time, they got to shake it up, they got to freshen it up. So that's one part. The other part is also, you know, to require at least 50%, half of the company's boards to be independent directors, you know. So yeah, essentially, you know, trying to have that stronger balance, right, between, you know, sort of insiders and outsiders, so to speak. Yeah.
So the board of directors is supposed to act for the shareholders, also not only the shareholders but the stakeholders, right? The public stakeholders, especially when we talk about Malaysian public listed companies, a lot of them are GLCs. Their actions not only affect things within the companies and shareholders, but the country at large as well. So it is not a good idea to, if you control a GLC or a company, to hire your friends as the board of directors, right? You got to make them independent, and you can't just have this very underhanded corruption by hiring a board of director, paying them a lot of money, and then making them make decisions that favor and benefit you, right? Those are the kind of things that we want to eliminate.
And it's not just friends, sometimes the uncle, auntie, cousin, or no, whatever, stuff like that.
Okay, is it a truism that regulators are always trying to play catch up to what's happening in the real world? And even if that's so, why has this come only now, considering the aunties and uncles have been around for a long time?
Well, you know, according to comments made by Tan Sri Ranjit, you know, essentially, you know, it is a learning, you know, it is a process here, right? You know, they have engaged with stakeholders, not just domestically, but abroad as well. And so this is the latest revision, or at least the third revision to a code that has been around for the year 2000, and there are significant changes, right? So, it's, for example, you know, going back to what Julian mentioned earlier, like for example, the pay for these directors. From what I've been told in the past, you know, these companies would just disclose the range or the band in which, you know, how much these directors are getting compensated, their remuneration. But then now it's specific, and it's not just for the directors; it's also for the top five senior management. So all of their, you know, detailed, there has to be detailed disclosures, you know, for how much these guys are getting paid, or guys and girls. And just speaking of guys and girls, so there's another part of the SC's push moving forward as well, is to really, you know, implement that agenda of having about 30% of, you know, decision makers in corporate Malaysia on these boards being women. And so that's going to be one of their you know, key pillars, or, you know, part of their three-year strategic plan moving forward.
Okay, also in the news, Yin Song Holdings Berhad, a wholly owned unit, Yin Song Clover, has been awarded a floating production, storage and offloading charter contract worth 1 billion ringgit.
All right, so Yin Song is one of the major FPSO, that's floating production, storage and offloading players in the global industry. You know, so I guess despite the volatility that we are seeing in the global energy space, you know, you've got this homegrown, you know, company, Yin Song, that is still very much waving the Malaysian flag and still, you know, padding up its order book.
Yeah, it's interesting that this is one company that's not dependent on Petronas for the oil and gas order, and getting a big order in a very troubled oil and gas sector is a big feather in their cap. And also Vietnam, right? They got the order from Vietnam from a big oil major called Repsol. This is where the growth is. All these frontier markets beginning to open up, beginning to demand a lot of investment money. It's no surprise that it's coming from a place like Vietnam.
And, you know, this is an interesting point that one of our producers, you know, highlighted before the show, that just to put that 4 billion ringgit number in perspective, 4.4 billion ringgit contract, that's the equivalent to what Petchem plans to spend on capital expenditure for this year and moving forward. So that's a, you know, pretty hefty contract there. But nevertheless,
I think this is a 10-year contract as well.
Ah, right. Yeah. But nevertheless, you've got the, you know, with this kind of news source as well, you've still got a rather cautious comments, you know, from RHB Bank, for example, you know, saying that, you know, despite the worst being over, you know, they got to move forward pretty cautiously. You've got the MD of RHB Bank, Dato' Khairul Saleh, you know, basically stressing the point, really, that they have to be cautious.
Yeah, I mean, it reminds you of that old English expression, a single swallow does not a spring make, I think.
What?
Well, you know, it's just one instance, right?
You have to have English a patch.
Yeah, la.
Also, I think a lot of this, what's going to happen in the industry, will depend on where oil prices will go. And there is an authority here, authority in oil. You know, what counts is the Abu Dhabi Investment Authority, or otherwise known as ADIA. They're saying that oil prices may fall below $40 a barrel if OPEC does not extend its agreements to cut oil supply.
And that's right. You know, so the question that we raised with Ben LeBrun, our market analyst, just at the just at the start of this hour, you know, just right after 7 a.m., was that, you know, are we starting to see perhaps a more pragmatic approach from OPEC, given that they, you know, we are getting closer to that June deadline for that production cut deal, so much so that there's talk now that OPEC are going to meet with Russia, a non-OPEC member, within the next couple of weeks to see, you know, how they will move forward.
I mean, a discussion on Bloomberg yesterday with some analysts looking at this was talking about compliance. They're looking at the high levels of compliance with the last deal, and saying that maybe that augurs well for the possibility of actually having a new deal on tax on output cuts.
Right, you know, and now compliance from OPEC and non-OPEC members is one thing, but of course we always got to look at you know, shale figures as well, you know, US inventories. I mean, granted, there have been some pretty mixed signals that you know, have come out this week about where US inventories are at and whether they're rising or falling, but nevertheless, they are certainly a key factor moving forward. Now, how does this all boil down to, you know, Malaysians? You know, we saw, right, today, fuel prices, RON 95, down to 2 ringgit 21 cent per litre. You know, now that we're on that you know, weekly price mechanism, you know, very much more exposed to global trends. So, got to watch this space.
Okay, in the news, Telekom Malaysia aims to double the internet speed for all its Unify subscribers by the end of this year.
About time.
Yeah, that was exactly what
too little too late, you think?
Well, you know, I'm a subscriber of Unify, and, you know, this may sound like a personal rant, but totally dissatisfied with the service because the speeds are rarely as advertised. You know, you go to speedtest.net and you see that what they promise you is not always what materializes effectively. And this has a bigger issue because how many of us thinks that efficient internet access is a matter of human rights?
Well, I mean, it's right. certainly something that we take for granted.
Human rights.
Well,
wow.
I'll answer that for you because I'm a dictator like that way. It is a matter of human rights. Everybody requires effective, efficient human rights. Now, if that is the case, is it right to place who's in charge of the internet in the hands of what is effectively a monopoly? I mean, UniFi is a monopoly. You really can't get those kind of services from elsewhere.
But what about just consumer rights? I mean, if you sign a contract with a company and they're not delivering, shouldn't you be able to get some compensation for
the lack of consumer rights should come from the guidelines of the government. Now, this is where the government has to step in and not have unfettered capitalism and unfettered free market, you know, because who watches UniFi, right? Who watches Telecom Malaysia in delivering their really poor service? I mean, I've called them a dozen times over the last year, and the left hand does not really know what the right hand is doing.
Maybe it's time we bring them on and have them explain themselves.
Yeah, you know, and you would think that other industry players would be able to keep them in check, but this sets us up really nicely for the breakfast grill, you know, talking about the infrastructure that's needed, the internet speeds that's needed in order for e-commerce to thrive.
Up next, the news at 8 a.m., BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.